Welcome to the podcast, From Crisis to Connection. I'm Jeff Stewart, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'll be bringing the professional perspective.
I'm Jody Stewart, unlicensed wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, and neighbor, and I'll be bringing the regular, everyday perspective.
We are all about relationship recovery, and we'll tackle tough topics like infidelity, abuse, addiction, pornography, and betrayal trauma.
We also focus on helping you build stronger connections in your most important relationships. So thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here.
One of the early questions that I get asked when I sit down with a new client, could be a couple, could be an individual, the question is really around what kind of treatment is going to give me the best results? And they may be talking about, you know, different therapy styles. But I think most people that come sit down with me have a sense of the kind of therapy style that I have. If they've listened to my podcast, if they've read things I've written, they have a general feel for my style, my personality. But there's this other question about how much treatment. Should we go super intensive? Should we just do outpatient therapy, you know, once a week, once every couple of weeks? What exactly is going to be the best combination? People want to know that they're going to get results. I totally get it. Therapy's not cheap. People don't have unlimited time and energy and resources, and they want to make sure they're getting the most bang for their buck. And so sometimes the question of inpatient treatment comes up in the course of these conversations. Now, people who work with me know that I don't do inpatient treatment. I'm an outpatient therapist, meaning that people go home after they see me. They don't live at a treatment center. But there are inpatient centers around the nation that primarily work with people with addictions, trauma, things like that. And the folks go and live there. They actually live at the treatment center and they have therapy on a regular basis. And there's all other kinds of things they do, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But this question comes up of, you know, should we just go somewhere and, or have, you know, have my spouse go somewhere, or should I go somewhere and just knock this thing out? Just go there and just do focus and pause my life and just really get this thing taken care of, which I think is a totally fair question, because if it's something that's going to totally disrupt your life and you need to take care of it, you know, like if you were going somewhere to get treatment for a really serious disease or you had to get a really intensive operation, sometimes it's better just to go in there and take care of it instead of just dragging it out over weeks, months, or sometimes years. It's a fair conversation. When it comes to things that are going to disrupt your life, you want to know that you're going to get the best possible outcome. I've organized the decision-making process into four distinct areas that can help you make a decision about whether or not inpatient treatment is more appropriate or outpatient treatment is. And the four areas each start with S. And the first one is sobriety, then safety, then support, then stability. I'm going to talk about each of these, and I'm going to jump into some pros and cons real quick about inpatient versus outpatient, so at least you understand the differences here. So inpatient treatment, some of the pros of inpatient treatment are that it provides a structured environment. It's a controlled, structured environment away from daily triggers, daily temptations. And this is crucial for a lot of folks in initial recovery. And this one falls under the one of the S's there around sobriety. And a lot of people that go inpatient are honestly just having a hard time staying sober. They're having a difficult time not acting out in the ways that are harmful to them. That could be with drugs or alcohol. This could be with sexual acting out. Behaviors that are just ongoing, they aren't stopping them. It's not happening. And they need an environment basically just to pull them out of that situation so that they have the best possible chance of getting their brain and their body healed so that they can do their best thinking and regain control of themselves. Another positive thing about inpatient treatment is that and it offers an intensive environment. It's round the clock, rather, care and supervision. And this is oftentimes beneficial for folks with severe addictions. If you're dealing with a drug or alcohol addiction, it can provide a detox environment, which is medically supervised and safe. And it can also be a place where if somebody needs a lot more than what an outpatient program or treatment can provide, inpatient will give you that, again, that round the clock care so that you're getting a lot of intensive attention from medical and mental health professionals. It also provides a level of comprehensive support, meaning you get a wide range of therapies and support services that you may not get in an outpatient setting. So that can be things like individual counseling, then you get group counseling, sometimes psychiatric care if there's co-occurring disorders like depression or anxiety or ADHD or other mental illnesses. And that comprehensive support can introduce you to lots of modalities that maybe one outpatient therapist wouldn't be trained in. Art therapy, there's a drama play, what's it called? A psychodrama, and lots of different creative ways to heal and access to lots of different supports and different variety of therapists as well, and caseworkers and staff that can really make it a much more comprehensive experience. It also provides peer support. Oftentimes in an inpatient setting, you're not the only person there. It's designed to be done in a group setting with lots of people, and you're face-to-face with other people experiencing similar challenges, and that can have a lot of benefits, combating isolation, helping you develop a support system that will follow you outside of the inpatient treatment center. It also allows the client to focus specifically on the recovery without distractions from daily life. So they leave their work, they have a chance to really dial in their energy straight into the recovery process. And, you know, that's definitely a unique opportunity that not everybody can do, which brings in some of the cons because not everybody can do it because it's so expensive. Way more expensive than outpatient treatment because, of course, they're living there. There's food. There's all these professionals and there's a lot of regulations. And so it's not cheap. It can run $20,000+ a month, you know, 10 to 20. I mean, I don't know. There's lots of different centers with different accommodations and different programs and so on. But I just know that I think I talked to somebody recently who was looking at doing I think it was 45 days and it was like $70,000. So it's just not cheap at all. And that was definitely a more high-end place, but still, it's just a lot of money. Not everybody can afford that. And then the other con is that it's a disruption to daily life. In the same way that you can focus on everything on recovery, recovery is not your only part of life. And so you've got a situation where oftentimes it's left to the spouse or the family members to handle everything. Coworkers, you know, if you have a business, your employees, et cetera, can just, because you're taking away so much time from work or family, it's just not feasible to drop out of your life for, you know, 90 days or 45 days. And then it also separates you from your support system. And being away from home can isolate someone from their personal support networks, which can be a real challenge. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration because the support system of the inpatient program in place and the people there is time limited. It's not a part of their natural supports. And even though they might keep in touch and have some aftercare, it's definitely not going to be a group of people they'll be meeting with because people fly in from all over the country generally or all over the world to go to these places. And so let's now talk about outpatient treatment, some of the pros and cons of that. Outpatient treatment is flexible. Of course, you can maintain your daily responsibilities. You can keep going to work, live with your family, and you can still get treatment. So it's very flexible. You can, you know, make your appointments and coordinate with your therapist or coach and get the kind of support that you need that works with your schedule and their schedule. It's also more cost effective. Even though it's expensive, it's definitely not as expensive as inpatient treatment. And it just doesn't include the intensive elements of it. It's just sitting down and working with one individual generally or a group if you're doing outpatient group therapy. And so it's a lot more cost effective in terms of what you get. But again, pros and cons, right? And then ongoing support, there's a continuity of care there. With your outpatient therapist, it's someone you can work with on and off, a long-term intermittent. It's not something that is a short-term intensive type thing. And so you can actually not only meet with that person and count on them being there as long as they're in practice in your community generally, or you know, you can have access to them on an ongoing basis. But it also allows you to, in terms of the flexibility and ongoing support, be able to go practice the things that you're learning and working through and, you know, the breakthroughs that you have, the insights, you can take those that same day or the next day, the next week, and basically just go practice in your life, living, talking, making mistakes, coming back, trying again. And there's lots of feedback and opportunities to refine and work through that stuff in that outpatient setting. And then, of course, it gives you access to your personal supports, your family, your friends, if you're going to group meetings. And you can stay close and get that support that will, you know, it's a part of your natural support system. Some of the cons of outpatient treatment is, you know, that because you're living at home or you're in your regular life, you're going to have reminders, triggers, temptations, and it can make recovery more challenging. You're living in your daily life. And a lot of the times your life involves a lot of the things that are difficult. That can include relationships in your family, your partner, your spouse. It can give you a lot of triggers and destabilizing situations that you may not feel prepared or capable of handling, which is something you have to be really honest about. It's less intensive as well. The level of care is less intensive, less comprehensive, and it may not be sufficient for those who have really severe addictions or compulsions, and they may need something a lot more intensive and wraparound. It also requires, outpatient requires a lot more self-discipline, requires a super high level of commitment to show up, do the work, do the readings, and manage life and all the distractions at the same time. It really is a lot of work to stay on course with your treatment and work closely with your therapist. And it's not something that a lot of people, you know, if you're really dealing with a really severe compulsion or addiction, you may not necessarily have the discipline or the resources to stay on course with all of that. You may need a higher level of structure and care. And of course, the choice between doing inpatient and doing outpatient really depends a lot on the individual specific needs. There's no way to make a blanket statement about which one's better or which one is going to be the most effective because there are so many factors. So I want to talk about these four S's that I mentioned at the beginning. And this is something you would definitely want to talk with a mental health professional about to really make sure you dial in what's going to be the best course of treatment, the best place, I should say, to do that treatment. And this is a personal, family, and professional conversation that needs to take into account all these different things. Let's talk about sobriety. That first S is sobriety. If you can't stay sober, if you keep acting out, if you're struggling to maintain a certain level of functioning, then it's probably a good idea for you to go get some additional support. And some people do like an intensive outpatient program where they still live at home, but they're in group, you know, every night, every day. Some people can do something like that with either 12-step or an inpatient or an outpatient group setting that's more intensive. But some people just really need that environment. Again, like I said earlier, if there's drugs or alcohol involved, if there are safety issues around sobriety, then you absolutely need to make sure that you get the level of attention and care so that you're not putting yourself at more risk. Sobriety is, you know, it's going to make it difficult to do deeper work. And I've worked with folks in my practice, again, which is outpatient, where they just were relapsing all the time. The shame, the life consequences, and the things that were going on, you know, every day because of these struggles was putting their job at risk. It was putting their family at risk. I've worked with some severe situations which the person just wasn't functioning at all and was pretty out of control. And inpatient became a more obvious choice. And the cost, of course, is difficult, but sometimes it's hard to measure a cost when you're dealing with somebody's life like that. So sobriety is the first consideration. The next one, the next S that I put down is safety. And this is about, I would say, life and death safety first. So we're talking about if somebody is actively a harm to themselves or someone else, then they need to be in a place where they can be contained. Of course, you know, a hospital setting behavioral unit might be the first step, but there needs to be basically supervision to keep them from doing something permanent. And inpatient settings for a lot of folks, you know, becomes the place they live and stay at because they're just not safe. Now, if they can keep themselves safe, they've got great support and they're making a commitment and promise and they've removed all the threats around that and they're dealing with a lot of big emotions or struggling with a lot of things, but they're safe, then that's something to consider. They may not need the inpatient setting for that reason, where for some people, it literally saves their lives. The next S is support. And if you've got good support on an outpatient basis in your life, your family, your friends, your group setting, I've worked with people who have really great, again, group or 12-step groups. They've got a great therapist. They've got family and friends that really love them and support them. They're having lots of contact and connection and support. Then a lot of the times that environment can be, you know, basically a life preserver for them to allow them to still live in their regular life, have those interactions, have those rich connections, and still continue to function and do outpatient treatment. And some people will go to inpatient so that they can get the proper support and the proper help and resources so that they can come back out into life and build those kinds of networks. Some people start this recovery process with zero support. They have no one, they're isolated, and it's something that they don't even know how to do or have never been able to do, and they might need that jump start. support is a big part of the inpatient setting. It's organized support, it's professional support, it's a lot of structure and organization. And it's something that I've seen a lot of people be able to replicate to one degree or another in an outpatient real life setting where they're living every day in their life, working their job, coming home, but they've just got, in some ways, sometimes more support than they would ever get in an inpatient setting. That's definitely one thing to measure and look at. And that goes a long way. Somebody who's well supported, they are going to have way better treatment outcomes for sure. And the last S that I came up with is stability. And this is about just general functioning. Are they getting out of bed? Are they able to go to work? Are they feeding themselves? Are they able to function like a healthy, mature adult? Or are they just totally breaking down, collapsing, struggling to function? You know, going to work is a challenge. They're just basically struggling to do life. If that's the case, that stability is one factor that needs to be considered. Are there mental health issues? Is there sexual addiction or their unmanageable behaviors? Those kinds of things, just so unstable that they need that extra support. Now, there's a lot of critics out there about addiction treatment, especially around sexual addiction. I believe that sexual addiction is a real thing. I believe pornography addiction is a real thing. I think most people that struggle with these things, I would put it under the category of more problematic sexual behavior. Addiction is something that I know is a very loaded term, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, but there are some people that it's so out of control that they can't function at all in life. I think those cases are much more rare. I think most people that struggle with these things are dealing with problematic sexual behaviors or problematic behaviors that are definitely interrupting their lives, creating consequences, but they probably can do treatment on an outpatient basis, get the support they need from groups and all these areas that I've talked about today. I think that most people can do that with the right organization and right support. And having a good therapist or a good professional or someone to help kind of quarterback that process and help them get the resources and support they need can make a huge difference in setting all of this up. But again, I leave room for the inpatient setting. I think that it exists for a reason. I think there's a lot of benefits for it in certain applications. I've worked with a lot of folks who have a lot of resources and they have the flexibility and time. And sometimes they just want to go straight up inpatient and go take care of it and knock it out. And a lot of them have had a good experience with that. And some of this is just resource management. I want to be able to give everyone the right resources and the right information so that they can make an informed choice. What I would never want to see happen, and this is why I'm recording this episode, I would never want to see somebody who could benefit from outpatient, but they end up breaking the bank or creating more problems in their life by dropping out of their life to go inpatient when they really could have pulled it off outpatient, because it can be so disruptive and even traumatic for their families, their children, their work, their lifestyle, that they may not even be able to recover from very quickly. And it can create more stress when they come back financially, emotionally, professionally, et cetera. I would never want somebody to mistake that they need to go do this inpatient. It's the only way to get better if they can pull it off on an outpatient and still preserve their way of life, their family relationships, et cetera. All of that stuff has to be taken into consideration. There's not some golden standard, if you will, in how this is supposed to look. There's obviously safety issues, stability issues, and sobriety issues that I was talking about earlier. Those have to be considered. Thankfully, there's lots of great treatment resources out there. There's a lot of ways to help people with these issues. There's not just a one size fits all. I want you to be able to ask good questions, understand the different options that are available. I think it's important to slow it down and ask questions. It can feel so urgent. But if you're going to commit to a certain course of treatment, make sure that you take the time to really research and investigate and make sure that this is going to be the best arrangement for you and your situation. Okay, thanks for listening. I love talking about this stuff with all of you. I think there are so many things to consider. It's very complex, isn't it? But I'm glad that you're listening. I'm glad that you're being proactive about your own healing or learning to help someone else. Because the more informed we all are, the more we can talk about these things, the better outcomes we'll all have in trying to help those who struggle, who are impacted by these things. Once again, if you want to support this podcast, I'd love for you to leave a review and a rating wherever you listen to this podcast and spread the word, pass it on, let other people know about the great episodes that you love, and you know, I can't tell you how many people reach out to me and say, this podcast is a game changer. Someone shared it with me. Thank you so much. It's like free therapy. I want you to be able to not only have access for yourself, but all the people out there who need this information, let them know about it. And that way I can keep providing this resource for free for you. I love doing it. And I'm grateful that you're here listening every single week. Thanks for checking in, and I'll catch you guys in the next episode.